This Triple M American Australia podcast is brought to you by Insurance Council of Australia. Protect your family and your home by preparing for bushfire season now. For tips, visit understandinsurance.com.au.
G'day, Australia. So many Eves celebrating today. Of course, Hallow's Eve, that is Halloween. It's also Cup Day Eve, and it's Mikey Robbins Eve.
Actually, that I was referred to that once. It was during my Brady Bunch period. It was not good.
Mikey, on the show today, we've got heaps on. I'm going to be chatting to Phil Collins. That's right. Legendary drummer of Genesis, also likes to be known as Phil Collins from Phil Collins. But let's just refer to him as the drummer from Genesis. He will be my guest today talking about his brand new biography, Not Dead Yet. We'll have a special Halloween review from Chopper. Yay. And we'll be playing Drunk or a Kid today, Mikey.
Oh, my favourite game.
Good to be both. No, it's not. It's bad.
Bad. Wrong.
I mean, no.
Wrong merit.
A kid, then the... Let's get out. Understand. Thanks to understandinsurance.com.au. Good start, Mez. Well done. Mikey Robbins with me this afternoon.
Hey,
welcome to Monday, Cup Day Eve. A lot of people looking forward to the Cup tomorrow. A few people will be celebrating today in advance, Mike, and even tonight.
And also, too, I want to apologise in advance. I'm that guy at the TAB tomorrow holding everyone up.
Oh, going.
Now, how do I do this?
Yeah. So do you mark it off? Oh, you just put a little cross. Oh, yeah.
I have another piece of paper, please?
Oh, don't do that.
My wife will do it for me.
That is the worst. Well, a lot of people, of course, waking up today on a Monday, maybe feeling a little bit tired.
Seedy?
After a bit of a weekend. One of the blokes at work, you know, when you come into work on a Monday and you say to everyone, oh, how was your weekend? And they go, good. Yeah. One of the blokes from the office today, Mikey, the guy called Ben, he posted something on his socials, which was a picture of his bedroom. Mm. And he said, sometimes you get drunk and you wake up next to a girl. Other times you wake up next to, and there was a picture of a sausage roll, half eaten on a plate.
So he'd had some drunken nighttime snacking.
Yeah. He's taken a sausage roll to bed, brought it into his bed, made a little cove for it with pillows so it was comfortable because he's not a cheapskate.
Oh, no, mate,
Made the sausage roll feel comfortable and relaxed and made it feel like the desired object that it is. And
put on a little bit of jazz music in the background just to have a sausage roll on the mood.
Yeah, just turn it. Do you like Terence Trent D'Arby sausage roll? Sure do.
Hey, why don't I get you some sauce?
Yeah, covered it in sauce. And then ate half of it and then left the rest on the plate, which just says that, you know, he was not that committed.
No.
And it wasn't, and the relationship wasn't going to go any further. Interesting, when you ask this question, this is what we're going to ask just for the top of the show. Let's just get this started. What have you woken up next to? Now, I'm not talking about people, things.
Yeah. Well, bizarrely enough, mate, I might have a story here.
Mm.
Yeah, it was going back to uni days, so we already know we're in deep.
Yeah.
It was an after-show party, so we're even in deeper. Went back to some bloke's place. I passed out on the couch, woke up several hours later, and thought, oh, something warm next to me? It's a basset hound.
Oh.
The drooliest of all the dogs, and I had like basset hounds all down my chest, and it was disgusting.
Well, see, that's the problem is if you're a snorer too, you wouldn't know whether or not it was you or the basset hound. So you just go, well, let's just call it 50-50, split it.
How about you, Miz? You ever woke up next to something?
I think the weirdest one that I've woken up next to, the weirdest object I've woken up to, I was a young bloke and I'd had a bit of a night and I woke up next to a barricade. An entire barricade, you know, like a flashing lights barricade. Don't go past here because you'll be run over by a train or something. Flashing yellow lights that you cannot turn off. They do not turn off. They don't. There's no switch to turn them off. You have to be, I don't know, the guy who puts those things out in the roads to turn them off. And the entire barricade was next to my head and my arm was wrapped around it. And I couldn't believe that I had had sex with a barricade. It was very awkward.
Bizarre enough, I can. I've got another one. You just remind me of another one from years ago. Me and a mate, we both passed out on his lounge room floor, and we woke up next to 30 grapefruit that we decided to take from the tree next door.
Yeah, because you know what? You often feel, when you get the munchies, you just go, God, I could kill some grapefruit.
That's what I know.
Yeah, some really sour, citrusy kind of... The world's worst breakfast. Yeah, that's what I feel like. The world's crappiest, healthiest breakfast right now.
I've knocked off
30 of them.
I've knocked off a dozen tinnies. I need a grapefruit.
I need something acidic that's going to hurt my tummy a bit. 133353. Let's unlock the phones. I know this is slightly dangerous, but going into a big day tomorrow for Melbourne Cup and after the back of the weekend, sometimes you just wake up next to things. So give us a call, 133353. What have you woken up next to? What? Not who. What have you woken up next to? Taking your calls on 133353 about what you've woken up next to. A guy in the office, Ben, woke up next to a plate with half-eaten sausage roll.
See, that would never happen to me.
No, I know.
I'd finish it.
You just, like, if you're halfway there, right. I mean, what's the point of heating it up and putting sauce on it? Seriously, it's like getting dressed up to go to the races and then just going, getting to the cab and going, nah, this will do me. Just here.
I remember my wife saying to me once, do you remember making Vegemite on toast at 3 o'clock this morning? I went, no.
No.
She said, I found you in the kitchen doing that.
My brother once, when we were young blokes, he woke up next to a dog that wasn't ours. It was somebody else's dog. It was a boxer that he just brought home from a party. And next to him was four little lamb cutlets that he got from the fridge. So I just went, you dirty man. You enticed that dog into your bedroom with some lamb chops like it was some sort of Hansel and Gretel type situation, you filthy man. And he didn't sleep with the dog.
No, he just put in the cab and never called it again.
Promises, yelled the dog. Let's get your calls. What have you woken up next to? We've got Jared in Richmond. Hello, Jared.
How you going, Mez? How you going, Mikey?
Good, mate.
Yeah, I woke up to an old pair of wooden water skis once. And no memory of how I got there, but there was a selfie with me that I sent to my mate at the train station with a pair of water skis in my hand and a big smile on my face.
Oh, wow. That
is so random. I would never have gone there.
That's at the train station, because as we all know, like, that is the natural environment for a pair of wooden skis is the train station. Did you wake up with them kind of horizontal to you, Jared? Like, you're hugging them, or were they on your feet?
It was like the wife laying next to you. They were just lying there next to me, perfectly straight, just sitting there.
Here's the amazing thing. Not only did you get hammered, you travelled back in time to get some wooden water skis, then came back to the present day.
I also like the way you said, like the wife.
Yeah.
What?
Just lying there.
Unresponsive and wooden. Is that what he's saying? No, that's of course not true. Jared, thank you very much. Let's get to James in Doncaster. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, mate.
Good, champ. All right. What'd you wake up next to?
The street sign for Chapel Street.
Oh, the street sign.
The Chapel Street.
The street sign for Chapel Street. Yeah, the Chapel Street sign.
Yeah, well, the only thing I can say about that, if you're not from Melbourne, but most people around Australia would have heard of Chapel Street, of course, Laps on Chaps, as it's known. All I can say, James, is, mate, there would have been a lot of blokes going, mate, what happened to the sign?
I'm lost, mate.
Cut the laps, mate.
Mate, I don't know where to go.
What is this, mate?
James, I've got to ask, how far away do you live from Chapel Street?
Well, I live in Doncaster, so
about 20-30 minutes.
It's a bit of a drive. I went, you know, we would have been in the cab, you know, with the sign and everything, and I can't even imagine. We had a few too many, don't really remember much. Just woke up next to it, and it was actually, like, tucked in, you know. Half of it was on my pillow, half of it was under the blanket.
Oh, that's disgraceful.
That's a little bit creepy.
When you woke up, if half of it was under the blanket, you woke up and gone, oh, my God, I've just slept with a chap. Oh, no, it's just Chapel Street.
I see what you did there. Good,
thanks. Thanks, James. Let's get to Alan in Penrith. Hello, Al.
How you going, boys?
Good, mate.
Very good indeed, mate. All right, what are you waking up next to?
I woke up next to a prosthetic leg.
Okay.
Okay, we're just obviously not yours.
Obviously not mine, no.
Male or female?
Probably a female. It's a sort of slender one, so I've got no idea.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't know how to pick it either. Unless I had a shoe on.
Sorry. Yeah, well, that's it. Lefty or a righty?
Oh, right foot.
A right leg.
Right whole leg. Knee joint right up to the thigh.
Thigh high.
A big one. At any stage during the night, do you remember running into a one-legged person?
Well, no. I remember looking in the papers of the following week, wondering to see if, like, someone's got their leg taken, but nothing at all.
It's a pretty sad indictment, Alan, when you have to go through the papers a week later to see if you've committed a criminal offence.
I'm from Penrith, boys. Come on.
Yeah, okay, true. Fair enough. I'm surprised you didn't steal it off a car. Thanks very much for your call, Alan. Phil Collins has just released his autobiography, Not Dead Yet. He joins me on the line now. Hello, Phil, you bloody legend. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good indeed, mate. Thanks for taking the time to have a bit of a chat to me. Phil, your autobiography, which I've just begun reading, Not Dead Yet, is that a threat? Is it a warning? What is that?
Well, it's kind of a statement, the fact, really. I mean, here I am, not dead yet. But there's also, you know, the threat of things to come. So it's supposed, it is a bit of a threat, I suppose.
What is to come, Phil? Because it is, you know, reading through your book, you've got obviously a great sense of humour and you don't mind taking the piss out of yourself, and clearly not about the fact that you're not dead yet. You've just announced that you're going to be touring Europe. You're back on the road. There is no end to Phil Collins.
I'm doing some shows in three different cities in Europe. So I don't call it a tour. I call it a series of shows.
Yeah.
And that's to keep my sanity. And we'll take it after that. We'll see what happens. But I'm not going. I can't foresee me ever going back on tour. You know, in terms of the way we used to do it, that's just not something I want to do.
Well, because you played your farewell tour in 2004, 2005. Are you familiar with an Australian artist called John Farnham?
Oh, yeah. I met him. He actually, I think he came on stage and sang with us somewhere in the mid-80s. But that was, you know, he had that big song with the bagpipes and everything. It was great.
You're the Voice.
Yeah, You're the Voice, yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing, I ask you about John Farnham, Phil, because he announced his final tour in 2002. He announced his final tour named The Last Time, and since has done exactly 10 comeback tours. So I think what he meant was this is the last time this year. So what I'm saying, Phil, is I think that you've clearly left the door open, and we're pretty pleased to hear it.
Yeah, I was aware, not of that particular, not of John Farnham, but, you know, I was aware that people, you know, that they say they're going to go, but they won't. And if they don't go, how can we miss them?
Phil, let's talk about your autobiography. Was it a cathartic process? Did you find this book easy to write, or was it difficult for you, a difficult process?
Yeah, I mean, I found it pretty easy, I've got to say. I mean, the parts which might sound as if they're difficult, I live with daily. You know, whether it's the divorces, whether it's the children, whether it's, you know, the booze. It's like it's something. I didn't find it hard to write. No, I thought if you're going to do an autobiography, be honest, you know, and do it. And so, you know, it's quite funny in places, and it's meant to be funny. And it's obviously, you know, it's got a lot of emotion in it because life has had that.
Phil, at what stage did you know that you could go solo and succeed?
Well, not until the first album was out and it succeeded, you know. I mean, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, I was singing with the band, but I had no idea that I would ever do anything on my own. And it was only, you know, the personal stuff that pushed me into writing songs as messages, if you like. An album grew from that. It wasn't really meant to be an album. It was just something I was doing in my spare time. Eventually, you know, you've got enough songs and they're good, and you put them out, and other people think they're good. So that's at that point.
Phil, one of the things I love about you as a musician and as a person, I guess, is your resolve and the fact that you defiantly stood there in the face of male pattern baldness and went, no, I'm hanging on to this hair to the very last day.
It's funny, I had this conversation with someone the other day, and she said, what you should do is dye your hair the same colour as your eyebrows. She said, it would look lovely, darling. And I said, just stop right there. Don't ever mention this again. This is not what I do. And I remember the Helsinki hair treatment. For some reason, I was on their shortlist. I mean, of course, I know what reason it was. But, I mean, they kept sending me these hair products that would... You know, I mean, I just threw them in a bin. I mean, it was like, this is the way it is, you know. I'm not bothered by it. Why should anybody else be bothered by it? I think everybody has this this image of what a pop star, if you like, should look like. And, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm the image of what every pop star shouldn't look like. So, you know, I'm stuck with it and you're stuck with it. Yep. So we've all got to get on with it.
No, I think it's great.
Phil Collins with me this afternoon. We're going to talk about one of your songs being used in the film The Hangover. Talking to Phil Collins about his new book, Not Dead Yet.
Mate, what about in your book? You've got, you know, there's so many stories about you, you know, meeting people and knowing people, your friends from, you know, Eric Clapton to members of the Beatles, you know, Sting, your good relationship with Robert Plant. You know, you've got all these great stories that you would share with these guys. Is there any story, you know, that you've, a moment that you've shared with one of these musical legends where your stories differ on that occasion? You know, they retell or recall the story differently to the way you do, and you'd like to set the record straight?
No, I think that that is true with a lot of these stories. I mean, the George Harrison thing, for example, I remember every moment. He doesn't remember the sessions at all. I mean, and Ringo doesn't either. And you know, it's just been in the papers recently, and by talking about it, I guess I'm fanning the flames. But the McCartney thing, you know, it's not a big deal in the book, but people have made a big deal of it because it's Paul McCartney, and I guess it's because it's me, and it looks like we're at war, but it actually isn't like that at all. In fact, yesterday Paul was trying to get hold of me to make sure that we were all mates still. So, you know, sometimes things can be taken out of context.
Yeah.
And that is dangerous. Of course, it's to be expected with the press, but it is dangerous and unfortunate because people can, you know, I mean, people can fall out over it. I mean, I've told people the way it was at Live Aid. It may not make everybody laugh, but it's an opportunity to tell the story as I remember it, and therefore, as far as I'm concerned, the way it was. I never intended it to be a get even book, because that was not the intention.
No, it certainly doesn't come across that way, Phil. Somebody you might want to get even with, though, is, of course, former heavyweight boxer Mike Tyson, after he slaughtered In the Air Tonight.
Mike Tyson? This is my favorite part coming up right now. I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
You're close, my guy.
It was like I've seen him do less aggressive things to boxers in the ring than to what he did to your music.
Oh, it was lovely. You can't not rap. I mean, this is a guy that can't sing, that just says he loves the song and, you know, busks his way through a verse and then punches someone out. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was very funny.
Did they approach you or did he approach you? How did they get that over the line? I mean, that's a big song. They've got to ask for permission to use it in a feature film. How did that come about? And what did you think did you laugh instantly when you heard Mike Tyson singing In the Air Tonight? Yes, let him do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't know it was happening. I didn't know, you know, the film was out in the cinemas before I knew about it. I'm sure someone knew about it, but no one told me. Yeah, the first time I saw it was when my daughter said, "Have you seen this? It's very funny." And I watched it, and it was great. And I watched it was on the other day, and we just happened to catch 5 minutes before it and 5 minutes after it. And it was actually, you know, it's good, you know. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Phil, thank you very much. It's been great to speak to you, mate. I wish you the very best with your autobiography, which is titled Not Dead Yet, Phil Collins. And hopefully we will see some sort of extended tour and you might come to Australia and visit our shores
and
perform for us. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Phil, all the best, mate. Thank you for your time.
All right, yeah. You too. Bye-bye.
Take care, mate. For understandinsurance.com.au, Mikey Robbins with me this afternoon. Mikey, of course, today is Halloween Eve.
Is it Halloween or is it Halloween Eve?
It's Halloween tonight, yeah.
It's Halloween. Hallow's Eve.
They've gone crazy for it in my suburb.
Really?
We've got fake cobwebs from one end of town to the rest, big hairy spiders. Not in our apartment block. Not now.
Not in Grinch Central.
You know how, like at the cricket, when the Mexican wave goes around and gets to the members and it stops?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, we're like the members' version of Halloween. Yeah. It's like it's cobwebs all down the street, gets to our place, then starts again.
Well, I did think about this, right? The symbolism of having cobwebs and, you know, spiders and that kind of, you know, creepy stuff out the front of your house signifies that you're open to kids coming around and trick-or-treating, right? Yep. Which is, I suppose, a really good idea. But in practice, what if, you know, in a row in your street there's this one house where a really creepy person lives and they're just really lazy. They're like one of those crazy hoarders that does nothing to their house, and their house just has natural webs out the front, and the kid's like, oh, look, they've dressed up as a creepy house. No, it is a creepy house.
And you knock at the door and they go, trick or treat, and they go, here's a dead parrot.
Kids, don't go to that house. If you want to know more about Halloween, cop this in your face hole.
Yes, hello Australia, it's Chopper here, and this week I'm talking about Halloween. I think we can all agree that there aren't enough holidays where kids get free lollies. Christmas, Easter, and now Halloween. They eat so much sugar their teeth fall out, and guess what? Here comes the Tooth Fairy to pay you for that too. There you go, you soft, chubby little chode. You managed to walk next door. Well done, have a Snickers. You don't see the irony of having your gut hanging out of your skeleton costume, do you, you plump little f***? I thought grown-ups were running this goddamn planet, and now if I don't give some kid a lolly, it gets to throw toilet paper at my house? Well, screw that. I'm taking this planet back. Have you ever thought, oh, why do teenagers keep breaking into places and spray-painting things? Oh, I don't know, Captain Gumpy McDunceface. Maybe because you conditioned them as kids to think that trespassing and vandalism would be rewarded with chocolate. One good thing about Halloween, everyone's so busy trying to be spooky, it's actually a good night to get some dodgy stuff done. You can carry a rolled-up, blood-stained carpet to the boot of your car on Halloween, and all your neighbours will think, oh, good on you, Chopper. What a great guy. He's really getting into the spirit of it. No, I'm not. There's a dead guy in here. Ha ha ha! At least we've finally found something useful to do with pumpkin. I hate pumpkin. It tastes like rotting armpit-flavoured driftwood, and when you cut it, you get this thick vegetarian snot stuff on your hands. Jack-o'-lanterns are supposed to keep evil spirits away, but in reality, they're just a beacon for semi-diabetic children. They say, I bought into this bullcrap holiday, so I probably have good treats. Instead of carving a face into your pumpkin, just carve in the words, gullible sap lives here. And why do people dress up on Halloween? Skeletons, witches and vampires aren't scary anymore. You want to scare me? Knock on my door dressed as someone from the tax office or one of those people who talk about Jesus. Over the last few years, there's been a trend of older, fancy dress goers going dressed up like recently deceased famous people. Remember that year Steve Irwin died and Lowe's sold out of khaki green King G shorts and shirts? I just want to say that I think pretending to be a dead celebrity is shameful and wrong. Halloween. You used to have to drive around in a black van to give other people's kids lollies, but for one night a year, they come to you. That's the opposite of stranger danger. 2 stars.
Time for this.
Australia has the big pineapple, the big banana, and now, thanks to Triple M, it's got the big question. The only difference is you don't have to spend 6 hours in the car to get to the big question.
Oh, Mikey, it was only a matter of time before I had a midlife crisis. Unfortunately, I actually started in my early 20s, but I've just... 42, almost 43, I've gone into full midlife crisis mode.
And how is that manifesting itself, my friend?
Okay, other than the fact that I'm currently restoring another motorbike, which I didn't need, and I just thought it'd be great to get an old bike and just give myself some nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. Get a motorcycle made in 1983 and make it slightly better than it was, but spend a lot of money on it. That's my side project of being in a midlife crisis. But when it truly, really sunk in, Mikey, that I'm deep in midlife crisis mode, was yesterday when I spent half the day in my garage at home. And in that time, I managed to pull out my old speakers, which are about the size of a light tower at the MCG.
Yep.
I connected that to my old stereo system, which is about the size of a Hyundai. And connect that to my 6-stacker CD.
Oh, yeah.
Got out the old Onkyo. That's right, a brand that doesn't even exist anymore.
I used to have an Onkyo.
Yeah, used to. One buys them anymore. Set up my Onkyo 6-stacker CD, put in some Rage Against the Machine Battle for Los Angeles, And then I set up a boxing bag, pulled out my brand new boxing gloves, which I bought. Already had a set, but they were old, so I got myself some new boxing gloves.
Right.
Put on a sweatband and just went hammer and tong for about 30 minutes into the bag, listening to Rage Against the Machine. And I went, holy cow, Merrick, you've become Frank the Tank from Old School.
Come on! We're streaking! Come on! Oh. Come on! We're on! Come on!
Yeah. Woo! I am currently having another full-blown midlife crisis, and I'm loving it.
Well, see, I've moved on from that. I'm actually just in full midlife acceptance. And this was driven home to me the other day. It's my birthday about a month's time. And Laura said, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, you know what? I could really do with some socks and underpants.
Wow. Yeah. You're looking forward to socks and underpants.
Yeah, I was like, you know, even last year it was like, well, I need a new speaker system for my iPhone. Now I want socks and underpants. I am full in midlife.
That's acceptance.
Actually, I think do you know what my midlife crisis was, mate? I was about your age at the time. White jeans. There, I said it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you don't know whether or not you're still, what decade are you in? You go, am I in the 90s now? Is this a new thing? Am I in the thousands? Where am I?
And also, too, you're celebrating the fact for the next decade, at least you've got some control so you can wear white jeans.
Yeah, well, that's it. I can't because I drink too much Barocca, and it's just eventually it's going to show. Well, look, I had this moment yesterday when I literally just realized to myself, you're doing all of the things that I've seen in Old School where men go through that midlife crisis and they think they can box again. They think they're still a contender.
Oh, yeah.
And they're listening to a bit of Rage Against the Machine is all of a sudden going to make me lose the extra 4 kilos that I want to lose and sharpen me up into a professional fighter. No, it's not, Mez, because you're not Danny Green. You're a dickhead in your garage and you're playing your music too loud and you're going to get complaints from your neighbours again because you're being too loud.
I also, when I turned 40, bought a chain.
A chain?
Go around my around my neck.
A neck chain?
Neck chain. I put it on once. My wife laughed at me and I took it back to the shop.
Who buys jewellery for themselves?
You know what? You're about 3 years off from it. I'll be there on that day.
Oh, mate! Look, I told you it's a work in progress. Midlife crisis for me. It started when I was 25 and went, you know what? I should get some sort of old V8 and drive that around. And I've never stopped and still doing it. But I want to open up the phones now. It's a big question. It affects so many of us. Admit to your midlife crisis. What are you currently enjoying? What have you set up in your house? What are you doing? How's it manifesting itself? What are you up to? If you're having a midlife crisis and you can admit to it, you know what you've done. Maybe you've bought something. Maybe you've tried to go back to a sport. Maybe you're trying to get physically into shape again. Whatever it is, I want to hear about your midlife crisis to make me feel better because I'm currently boxing into things in my garage at home, listening to Rage Against the Machine like it was the 90s. And I love every second of it. It's awesome. Big question today is, how are you currently enjoying your midlife crisis? Because I'm in a garage listening to Rage Against the Machine on CD because I actually own this music. I don't have to rent it. I've already bought it.
CD, or as my nephew calls them, coasters.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a 6-stack of turntable, which in the 90s was just next level, and I am loving it. Playing music, it's funny, you know, playing CDs, Mikey, as I was yesterday, as I was using the boxing bag at home, like I knew what I was doing. It does feel great going, hang on, I own that music. That's my CD.
Yep.
I can play that.
Yep.
I can stop that. I can press pause. Sure, I can't use the remote because it's too old school and it's broken, but that's not the point. I'm having midlife crisis in many, many ways, and we want to talk about yours, male or female. Everyone's entitled to have a meltdown. Leon, my producer, his parents have had, I don't know if he wanted me to talk about this, but they've both had midlife crisis.
Yeah.
His dad got into some go-karting, as you do, at about 50, 60 years of age. Just go, let's go go-karting.
See, here's the thing.
Professional go-karting.
What you need to do is wait until your bones go brittle before you take up go-karting.
That's right. That's right. His mum went and did a flower arranging course.
Oh, so she says.
Yeah. I know. I laugh because we all know it's an affair. But the... Too much. It's always good. Just had to check where the line was today, and it's there.
Just good. Found that line.
Good. Yep. Good. Good. We know where it is, so let's get into some calls. Hello, Stuart. No, Sam.
Hello.
Sam.
How are you?
Yes, hello, mate. How are you?
Good.
Okay, midlife crisis. What are you currently enjoying?
A young 30-year-old female.
Kate, that was not what I expected on the first call.
No, and...
it's completely legitimate.
And good on... I don't want to talk to you, mate.
I know. I feel bad because if I congratulate you, Sam, I sound like a creep, like we're part of some sort of ring. But if I don't say well done, then it seems like you've rung up for no calls. How old are you, Sam?
I'm 51.
Okay, good.
Hello?
No, that's good. It's good. Just running you through the Rolfie meter, and you've come up clean.
Hey, guess what, mate? I own a scotch older than your girlfriend.
I'm not going to go. This is stopped. Now, let's move to Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, right, guys. How you going?
Good. Yeah, really good. Great to have you on the show, Michelle. Are you currently having a little midlife crisis, and how are you enjoying it?
I didn't think it was, but apparently taking up drums at 44 is a midlife crisis.
But I think it's an outstanding midlife crisis.
I'm loving it. I've been doing it for 18 months. And it's fantastic.
Are you any good at it, Michelle? Are you just one of those people who just likes, you know, you like the process of belting the skins because you can imagine it's your husband's face, or is it because, you know, you've got a bit of rhythm there and you're actually quite a skillful musician?
I've been picking it up better than I expected and better than my teacher thinks I would. So, yeah, I guess I'm doing all right.
So you're getting lessons.
I'm doing lessons.
So you're
doing
fair
lessons.
Dinkum.
Teacher.
I practice and everything.
Yeah. Is your teacher a male teacher?
Yeah.
Is your husband a little bit concerned?
No, not at all. Not at all. He's about the same age as my oldest, so no, it'd just be weird.
Yeah, but he should be very concerned then.
But see, here's the thing. Drums, it's a lovely instrument, but don't get me wrong. Don't you need to find other people at some stage and form a band?
Yeah, it's true.
When I get good enough. It'll happen.
So, if you get a full drum kit as well, Michelle, or if you get those kooky kind of, you know, the pad ones, the electric pad ones, so that you can drum and you can listen to the headphones, because if you were my wife, they're the ones I'd insist that you had.
Yeah, actually, my kids have insisted on exactly that.
Yeah, you get the electronic pads, but you've got proper real skin drums.
No. I've got the practice ones.
Oh, there you go.
Training wheels for drums. That means that your family don't think you're musically gifted. That's what that is. And your husband thinks you're having an affair with a drum teacher. I'm just letting...
It could be worse. It could be flower arranging.
Yeah, okay. Look, I'm being overly honest today, and I'm sorry if I'm upsetting people, but this is part of my midlife crisis, okay? I'm enjoying my midlife crisis. Joined this afternoon by Mikey Robbins. And Mikey, this show is well-renowned in the radio circles as being the home and lover of the visual arts.
Absolutely.
I'm seriously
with you on radio show that broadcasts live from the Archibald.
Absolutely. We love art and all that stuff that goes on walls and that. Yeah. And recently we spoke to a guy. He was the creator of the massively successful Facebook page Drawing Dicks on the Herald Sun, which is art. Where almost 400,000 followers, half the amount of the readership of the Victorian newspaper, contribute to doodle pics.
And they're fantastic.
They're incredible. They're next level. And they're respected right around the world. Earlier in the year, they held an exhibition at a gallery of their best submissions where around 25,000 people attended. And this time around, they're going to be presenting new submissions for Doodles on Donald Trump. It's an exhibition that starts on Friday, the 4th of November to Sunday the 6th at Art Boy Gallery in Paran in Victoria. And the creator of the Facebook page, Drawing Dicks on the Herald Sun, and then subsequently Doodles on Donald, Dylan Merritt joins us back on the line again. Mate, great to have back one of our great art contributors. Well done.
Yeah, mate.
Thanks, boys. Good to be back.
You go first, mate.
First of all, who kicked it off, Dylan? Who started drawing doodles on Donald?
I think it was Larry's idea. After the sort of success of the first one, gallery, Larry always had plans for another one. And so, I mean, what better topic than Donald Trump and the American presidential election?
See, here's my problem, though. Isn't drawing a penis on Donald Trump actually a visual tautology?
It seems like cheating. You don't really have to do any work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I put that. I think I'd like to point out to you too. You know, he is one of the most litigious people in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you heard anything, Dylan, from the Donald Trump camp? Because I mean, this stuff is all online. I mean, you've got close to 500,000 followers, and they're going to see this doodles on Donald, where you know you've taken pictures from the from Herald Sun or other publications maybe where Donald Trump is there, and then people have just drawn doodles around him.
Yeah, I think we're half hoping he'd like attempt to sue us or something. Just, I mean, I got nothing to lose, so it'd be a bit funny.
No, you do. You got heaps to lose, mate. Yep. it's called everything you have, and he could make that. But look, good on you for doing that. You're not worried at all then?
No, not really.
What about his supporters, right. Dylan? What about Donald Trump supporters? Have you heard from them? Because they're pretty mild. They're moderate people.
I guess when we post the pictures with doodles drawn on him, you sort of get the occasional Trump supporter that'll pipe up and have a go at Clinton. But other than that, not really. Everyone gets on board and has a laugh.
So it's got to be said, who's next?
I don't know. I think what's next is the documentary. And then after that, I don't know. Whatever, sky's the limit, really.
Do you have like premier knob artists? You know, do we have... You know, there's one or two go-to people in this country that can just draw a wang better than anybody else in the rest of the world. Is that where we've got to the moment? Are we leading the world in knob drawings?
Oh, definitely. You could say that.
Right.
Jonathan Guthman. We dubbed him Sir Jonathan Guthman purely because he's such a magnificent artist.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, Merrick, nice euphemisms for penis back there, mate.
Trying. What about life drawing? I mean, Jonathan or any other artists, are they having to get models in? Are they drawing them from their memories? A mirror? I mean, how do they do this?
I don't know. I think they just do it off memory.
Right.
I don't know. Guthman draws a wide variety of penises, so I don't think he's using his own reference.
That's a pretty good feat. They're multiracial. I mean, have we got a good cross-section of Australian society in there?
Yeah, you got cut, uncut,
Busted. I think he was actually asking about the artist, weren't you, Miss?
Yes, I was referring to the artist, but no, that's fine. I mean, I suppose it applies to both of those.
Plenty people getting on board.
I've been told to wind it up for some reason.
I must admit, this is a very human trait. I was speaking at a conference last week, and they showed me the notes that people had done from the day before, and I would say more than half did have a penis drawing on it.
Perfect.
We got through that, didn't we?
Okay, so the exhibition Doodles on Donald starts on Friday and goes till Sunday at the Art Boy Gallery in Paran. Just 3 days there. You've got to fit in a lot of decent 3 days then, don't you?
I think we've got about 50 lined up, so
I'm actually being told to get off air now. So, Dylan... once again, mate, always great to speak to you. As we like to do on this program, we like to reflect the arts in a way that we all understand, gratuitous and childish. So thank you for being a part of that. Perfect. Mikey Robbins with me this afternoon, and we like to do this.
Was I drunk? Or was I a kid?
Challenge us with your stories. Tell us a story about either from your childhood, something that you did, or something you might have done after a couple of coldies. And we will try and figure out which one it was. We tried to decipher using clues. Last week, Mikey, I think we had 3 from 3 last week.
Yeah,
which is the first time. Yeah, it's the first time we haven't been beaten. But normally, we don't come out the best. So give us a call, 133353, to play Drunk or a Kid. As I said, very basic. Mike will give you an example now.
Okay, the scar on my right knee comes from an incident where we were playing silly buggers and helping ourselves to some oysters off some rocks. And I tripped and fell and landed on an oyster and didn't notice that I was cut until my mate pointed out that my calf muscle was covered in blood.
That's a tricky one.
That's a good one.
Because I've seen one of my mates climbing up a ladder at Fremantle many, many years ago, and he'd had a few and didn't realise that it was covered in oyster shells, and he just got diced up. Like, seriously, he looked like teriyaki when he came out, just pouring with blood. A kid would notice quick. I'm going to say drunk, Mikey.
No, mate, I was 12.
Oh, God damn it, that's not a good start.
Yeah, me and my mate Dev.
All right, okay. 133353, give us a call for Drunk or a Kid. I'm going to give you a story now, Mikey.
Am I?
peer group pressure, had a group of friends around, and I was at a friend's house, and they lived right near a tram line on the main road, and a Melbourne tram was coming past, and I said, let's egg it, and everyone went, oh, really? And I went, yep. So I ran into the fridge, grabbed half a dozen eggs, and I ran out, and I egged a tram. Was I drunk or a kid?
You know what? I'm going to say kid. I'm going to say that's you showing off as a kid as opposed to being drunk.
I was 30.
Oh, oh, the shame of it all.
I was 30. I'm not even like a baby man, like a proper full-grown human man about to have his own children.
That's fantastic.
Just, it just felt right.
Yeah.
It felt right. And everyone, and what was really bad is like everyone at the party just gave me that look that I used to get from my parents, which is like the, we're not angry with you. We're just really disappointed. We thought that you'd outgrown that. And I was like, but I thought we all.
For a second there, I was your leader.
Yeah.
No, so
You were all just minutes ago, you're going, oh, fun time, Miz. Fun time, Miz. He does anything. He's so cute. Oh, why are you egging a tram, mate? Oh, you turncoats. 133353, give us a call, drunk or a kid.
Was I drunk? Or was I a kid?
For understandinsurance.com.au, Mikey Robbins in this afternoon, asking you to tell us a story, and we will try to decipher using our powers of deduction to see whether or not you were drunk or if you were just a kid. Mikey and I have managed to trick each other today.
Indeed.
Let's see how you guys go. Sarah in Cronulla, kick it off.
Afternoon, boys. How are we?
Good.
Very good. Great to have you on the show, Sarah.
Thank you. So I actually broke my arm going down a McDonald's slide on one of those trays. You know the McDonald's trays?
Yes.
I was sat on one of those and went flying down and broke my arm.
Okay, first of all, congratulations.
Yep.
Thank you.
Just taking the whole Mac time experience to the next level.
Yeah, see, either way, you're a legend.
The tray.
See, because, you know, I must admit, I'm going to go drunk. I think drunk, Miz. Because that's something like a drunk person would do.
Yeah, but you know the thing is, Mikey, those slides are only little tiny slides, right? And only small people can get down them. Trey, you're going to go drunk, are you?
I'm going to go drunk, yeah.
You know what? I'm not going to confer with Mikey on this one. I'm going to go kid. Sarah?
I was completely wasted.
Yay!
It was only a couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago, mate. Oh, yep. Dear.
I completely snapped my arm clean.
Oh, look, I've never been less happy to be right, but I'm a little bit happy.
Oh, and can I ask you, Sarah, when you went to the hospital, what did you tell them happened?
That I just happened to fall over. I didn't go into detail. I was like, I just fell over and it happened. They're like, okay, no worry.
Are you telling the truth or did you say, I had to fall over? And they've just gone, wow, that's the first, guys.
Somebody who's been drunk and has fallen over. What do we do?
Never happened. Because the worst thing would be if I'd have been there, my first words would have been, you're going to finish that?
Get the burger while she's down.
Yeah, it's still hot.
Half eaten. Oh, yum. Don't want to waste the Big Mac. Thank you. We'll get to Sarah. We'll get to Kiefer. Hello, Kiefer.
Yeah, how are we, gentlemen?
Good, mate.
Very good indeed, mate. All right. Far away. Drunk or a kid. We'll see if we can dissect this story.
Okay, so I jumped into the front seat of a car and I bumped something. The car starts rolling backwards and I try to stop it. But I degloved my left leg, which means ripping the muscle off the bone.
Right.
Okay, there's a lot of people going, it does sound a bit graphic, I'm not going to lie. The noise we're making in the studios.
What do you reckon, mate? It sounds like... You ever been trying to gain control of a moving vehicle when you're a kid? It's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, but you got to think, what degloves your leg in a car? I mean,
I hit a brick on the ground while I got dragged along.
Oh, okay. Okay, now you're excited. Mikey, I'm thinking it's a kid. I think it's a kid.
I'm going to go with you on this one, Miz. I think it's
a kid. Because if he's a drunk, he would have been trying to get into the front seat, in the driver's seat. What were you, Kiefer?
I was a child.
We got one out of two, Miz.
Okay, let's come down to the decider. Andrew in Lara is going to put it down for us. Andrew, what's your story, drunk or a kid? Go.
How are you guys? Look, I was mucking around on a BMX bike stupidly in the wet when I've slid over and fallen right on top of the end of the handlebar, and it's gone right through my chin. Split it wide open.
Oh, Jesus, a tough one.
You think BMX, you think kid, but also, too, I think that's the sort of stupid accident I could have. I'd like to have that. That sounds like something I want.
See, here's my thing. It's a story that if it happened to you as a kid, you probably, you wouldn't be telling it. But if it happened to you as a drunken adult, then it sort of has more, you know, it's worth telling a bit more.
Did you deglove your chin?
Sorry?
Would you be able to say that you degloved your chin?
Oh, I suppose in a way. I mean, when I spoke before I got it all stitched up, it sort of looked like I had two mouths.
Yeah, that's a degloving. That's a degloving of your chin.
Yeah, it's a degloving.
Degloving just makes it sound a lot worse.
That's a dead set degloving. Okay, what are you?
I'm with you, Mikey. I think he was drunk.
Yeah. Okay, we're both going drunk on this one. Yep. Mate.
I was a kid. I was 7 years old.
Oh, you win, Australia. Well played.
Defeated.
Oh, we had a win last week. You can't win them all. Well done, Australia. Thank you very much. Tomorrow, we'll be coming live from the Melbourne Cup from Flemington Racecourse. Lawrence Mooney will be my guest. Looking forward to your company. Mikey Robbins, thanks very much. I'll see you again next week.
Cheers, buddy. Have a good one.
See you tomorrow, Australia.
Merrick has clocked off after another hard-working day.
People who work in radio have got it pretty tough.
This Triple M Merrick and Australia podcast was brought to you by Insurance Council of Australia. Protect your family and your home by preparing for bushfire season now. For tips, visit understandinsurance.com.au.